If you look at Psalm 18, 1 and 2, let me read it to you. I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my mountain where I seek refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Let's pray together. Would you tell the Father that you love him today from your heart to his? May he hear from you. And let your prayer move to being grateful, thankful. Let your heart sing. Let the Holy Spirit highlight what you need to be grateful for and thankful for today. We give you an opportunity to pray for other people who overlap into your life. I know I can have a prayer list. You can have a prayer list. They may not always match, but this is an opportunity for you to pray for people. Physically, there's sickness. There's financial reasons they're going, problems. There's relational problems. There's spiritual direction. There's emotional pain, hurt. Just lift those people up to our Heavenly Father right now. I ask that you pray a blessing over those who are literally around you right now, even if you don't know them. And then pray for your family, wherever they may be. Pray a blessing over them. We give thanks for the offering that we were able to receive and that you gave recently or just in this last song. And we want to ask the Lord to bless that. So we came with financial offerings today, and we trust the Lord, even in our own personal balance. But we also brought our lives today as a living offering, a sacrifice unto him. Present yourself in that way. Lord, I'm yours. I bring you my life. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Lord, help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. Any word of knowledge you give to me to speak to a person or their situation, if you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. And then, Lord, you see all of us today, but you see me differently. I'm your preacher. I'm your teacher. On me is a greater and a more strict judgment by you. And Lord, I know that. I understand that, and I accept my place in rightly dividing your word. It's in the name of Jesus I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see you all. Thanks for being here today. I was working in my office, and I've been working on a series that's going to start after Labor Day on the wisdom of God, the difference between worldly wisdom and godly wisdom. And I'm having a big time with that. In fact, I want to do it in the fall, but it looks like it could be a long time. But I'm trying to put all that together and whittle it down, as we would say. So I got to dealing with God's strength, and so I was having a moment in my office, and I was just putting all this together about how strong our God is, you know? And then I realized this is about an 8-hour sermon if I actually preach this. So if you're thinking that I don't think of you, I want you to know that I do think of you. And instead of giving you an 8-hour sermon, I thought, why don't we just take this all the way up to Labor Day, okay? So I've broken it apart for you, but I just kept going back. In fact, I had something else completely planned for that span of time. But I just want us to focus in on Scripture and how great our God is, how strong he is, and the strength of him. So that's what we're doing today. And we begin with Psalm 18:1. I hope you realize that when we pray together, I have you start off with basically Psalm 18:1. When I tell you, tell a father you love him from your heart to his, that's what I do. It's that verse right there. Now, if you come to me for pastoral care, I'm going to reverse it on you. I'm going to have the Father speak to your heart. But when it comes to us in prayer, I'm wanting you, I'm wanting your heart to speak to his. And it comes from the psalmist saying, I love you, Lord. When he says, I love you here, we're just going to walk it through verse 1. He says, I love you here. It's talking about a family kind of love and a real deep family kind of love. Like, I love you all, but then I really love Julie and Andrew, Maria, the girls, and Laura, you know? But I have a family love with you too. In Christ, we are brothers and sisters in the Lord. And this picture here that David uses is a love that is from God to man. The love that he's talking, the love that he uses is actually a love that's written from God to man. But he is so grateful for what God has done for him that he is using it from man to God. In other words, back to you, right? That the love that the Father has given him, he's giving it back to the Father. And I just want to be honest and really practical. I pray to be plain as a preacher. And that I think that's where it begins. I think people can be involved in worship and praise, but I don't think worship and as a ritual, and it be empty. You're just part of the room, you know? But I think worship and praise to our Lord begins when I understand how much he loves me. And then I respond with that. I just respond with the love that he has for me. And David is writing a language here and a phrase in such a way that it is designed to be a love from God to us, but David is expressing him that I love you back the same way you love me. It's a picture of tender affection. It's written in such a way that it's a present love, but it's continuous action. And I could bring the verse in. I won't read all the verses that contain this phrase, but you all know it from the Old Testament. His love endures. You want to finish it for me? Forever. You know, it says it several times. His love endures forever. So he begins, and I encourage you when you pray in your times, just begin Psalm 18:1. That I love you, Lord. And I'm saying that understanding that your love is for me. And it's a family kind of love. I said in the early service, you know, an atheist believes that there is no God. An agnostic believes that there is a God, but you can't have a relationship with him. And then here we are. I believe that God is alive and he's my dad. You know, he's my heavenly Father. I just don't believe he's a God that's just got a salt shaker that has love in it and he's just pouring it out. I believe he loves me and that he is my heavenly Father. So when we look at that, we see that. In verse 18:1, he finishes it off and he said, my strength. And this is where we want to put our focus on the next few Sundays, especially today. That it's the word strength here is a picture of an immovable rock. And there's going to be all kinds of references to rocks here and mountains and all that in this passage, especially in verse 2. But it's this big immovable rock that it is there for me. It's a protection for me. And the picture is here that it doesn't move. So I got to thinking, when I was putting this together, is this a reference that God doesn't move? And I don't believe it is. I just believe it is a reference that those who are after me can't move him, that he's the immovable rock of my life, the foundation. And we've been singing that all morning, and we will continue that even during the invitation about God's strength. He's my hiding place. He's my rock. He's my mountain. He's all those things. But I asked the question, does God move? And I want you to look at James 4, 7, and 8 for just a moment. We were in verse 7 a few Sundays ago. And I want to go back there because I don't want to skip this. Says verse 7, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee from you. Draw near to God, he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, sinners. Purify your hearts, double-minded people. Verse 7, there's three steps there, or there's two steps, and then one happens. There's a step one of submit yourself to God, a step two that we resist the devil, and a step three that he will flee from you. Usually we handle step two and want step three to happen, but step two and three aren't going to happen unless you do step one. And we place ourselves under his authority. We absolutely submit ourselves to God. So there's a movement of us toward him there. But I want you to look at verse 8. It says, you draw near to God and he will draw near to you. He moves? Yeah, he's this immovable rock of protection, but he still is a God who moves to us. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. He'll do that. That's a father kind of love. That's a father kind of love. Now, our daughter, Laura, lives in Austin, Texas. Laura's favorite phrase growing up was, I do it myself. And she still lives that way. She's very independent. But let's be honest to the dads in the house. Father's Day, you know, been pretty close. Ask me if I love it when she calls me wants advice or help. Go ahead and ask me. I know that's rhetorical, but I love it. You know, I love it. If just in an earthly fashion, I know our relationship with him is superior to that. But just in an earthly fashion, if my kids draw near to me on the spot, you know what I'm saying? And you got to get a picture of this, that as we draw near to him, so submitting ourselves in verse 7 is a drawing near. Listen, I'm getting ready to handle something that's beyond this life. And I need to submit to your authority in my life. Resist the devil will flee. Does the devil flee because of you? No. The devil flees because of that incredible rock that's in your life. You know, and that is our God. Draw near to him. And that's us moving toward him. He draws near to you. And see what happens? It says, cleanse your hands. There's a cleansing as you draw near to him and him to you. There's a purification of your heart. We go from being double-minded people, and James really, really has a theme of double-mindedness in his book. We become single-minded. We become single-focused on the Lord. So as we draw near to him, there's a cleansing and a purification and a restoration. And I'm going to, with double-mindedness, it's just there's a single focus, and that's on the Lord. I want you to look at 1 John 1:9, how this comes together. If we handled this the other day, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confession is a movement toward him. Draw near to me. God says, I'll draw near to you. Confession is a movement toward him. You know what most of us do with any sin that's in our life? We try to work it off. I mean, it's like community service. I'm before the judge. Give me 80 hours community service. It's gone. That's not the way God works. Our court system can work that way, but that's not the way he works. And in that, we confess, if we confess, which is a movement toward him, a drawing near to him, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us, and confession leads to cleansing, just as submitting and drawing near leads to cleansing in our lives. And it's to from all unrighteousness. There's a picture of repentance here. If I go back to James and go submit yourself to the Lord, draw near to him, is a picture of repentance. If I go to here and say confess to the Lord, it's a picture of repentance. And repentance is a military phrase that has I'm headed in this direction, which would be my own way, and then I'm not going that way anymore, and it's a 180 that I have turned my life around and I'm headed in the direction of my Lord. Draw near to him and he will draw near to you. It's amazing how what the Lord does in those times. I know that I can speak of control to you all whether it's the remote control or you don't want to let anybody else drive. You know, you have to drive if you're in a vehicle. We know people like that. We want to live under control. And guys, I believe in a God who reveals himself to us. But you and I want to control when he does that. And we're not in control of that. To Moses, a burning bush was the only time he used that with Moses. Now, we may refer to some moments in our life as a burning bush experience, but that's the only time he used it. It becomes a picture of Moses wasn't looking for that. There are times that God reveals himself to us, and I know you and I want to control that, but we can't. We just have to draw near to him. You and I have marker moments in our life where God has strongly, personally revealed himself to us. And those are marker moments in our life. I said in the early service, I said, he might reveal himself to you through a bumper sticker. And then I said of something I read the other week, it said, if you find somebody that has more than 10 bumper stickers on their car, don't let them teach Sunday school. And I just thought that was funny. Now, I'm not casing the parking lot. I want you to know that. I'm not laying in judgment. I just thought that was funny. But it could be through a bumper sticker, you know, that you come up and the Lord speaks. I can't control, you can't control. Of God, I want you to reveal yourself to me in this way. He does it his way. But listen, if you draw near to him, submit to him, he will reveal himself to you. And he will reveal a love that David tries to express is actually a love from only God to us. And David is trying to express that back to him, that because of your revelation in my life and your leadership in my life, I am wanting to love you back in the same way that you love me. I think that is an incredible attempt. Listen, folks, I've been preaching here a long time, you know, a long time. In 30 some years in the same community to the same people. And I want you to trust the Lord. I want you to believe in him. I want you to put your faith and trust. Listen, this is not a game. We're not doing this today just to say, man, I've checked off church today. We play a lot of games, but this is not one of them. It's life. And I want you to say with the psalmist that you are my God. Now, I can't make you believe, but I'm going to always challenge you to go to the Father. In fact, if you come to me for pastoral care, I'll let you be the preacher. Where am I going to send you? Where am I going to send you? To the Father. You're going to come to me. I'm just going to, I'll chat with you, help you out best I can, encourage you, but I'm going to send you back to the Father. You know, I speak for Julie and me. I want him to be your God, but I can't make him be your God. But I'm going to tell you today, he's our God. He's my God. Whether you know him or not, he's my God. And I love him, and I know there's moments that no human could speak to me like God has spoken to me. No earthly person could go to the areas of my life like my God can go to that. So I just want you to know I'm not up here because I didn't have a career somewhere else. In fact, I had a more lucrative career somewhere else, if you want to look at it in a worldly term. But I'm here because he's called me to tell you to put your faith and trust in him. I love you, Lord. You are my strength. For whatever I go through, this world throws at me, the traps and the temptations, whatever it is, you are my strength to get through this. and I'm with the best I can, I'm loving you the way that you love me. Look at Psalm 18:2. David starts going, and David has been chased around here. He's been chased everywhere, and the Lord, people were after his life. And he's been delivered by the Lord, and he's just really giving a praise for the deliverance in his life in Psalm 18. And here he gets very descriptive, and a lot of it is repetitive, which can sound like me. I can be repetitive. But he's repetitive in here a lot of places. And he begins by saying, the Lord is my rock, and he's my hiding place. Logan and I had a laugh. I'll throw him under the bus with me in just a moment. I'm not throwing him under the bus. I'm going to throw both of us under the bus in just a moment. But I was in my office, and I was dealing with a hymn that came up while I was prepping this, and it's the old hymn, Rock of Ages. Now, hang on a moment, okay? I had to battle between the old hymn, Rock of Ages, and the Def Leppard version of Rock of Ages, okay? I just want you to know, I had both of them playing in my head simultaneously. And I'm saying that because when I mentioned it to Logan, he went to the same place that I did, so I'm Rock of Ages. You know, y'all know where I am on that? I can't help it. I grew up in the 70s. So, but did I cast that away? Pretty quickly. And I went back to the hymn that he's my rock of ages. And I'll just give you two phrases out of it. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Where do you go when the world is after you? And don't go thinking, you're thinking you're after the world. Let me just tell you, the world's after you. Where do you go when all that temptation and all those traps and all that distraction and all that's causing you to detour your life away from God, where do you go? David says, I go to my rock. I go to my rock. I go to my God and who he is. He said, he's not only my rock, he's my fortress, which is really a multiplication of rocks. It's this mountain place. It's higher. And the higher, the better if you're wanting strategy to be able to have an advantage on anybody else. And it's tough to get to. The picture here is that only God can lead me there, is the picture. And then he does something really interesting here. He says he's my deliverer, and then he will back it up with my God. We're going to go from inanimate objects like rocks and a bunch of rocks, this mountain fortress, and we're going to go back to other things in a moment, mountains and shields and all that. But it's not exactly in the middle, but it's right here pretty close. In the middle of it all, he goes from inanimate descriptions to a personal living description. He goes, he's my deliverer. He is my deliverer, meaning that our God is alive and that he is well and that he loves us and that he guides us. He's a living defender of our lives. I know you could say, man, I'm preaching protection here. And hey, pastor, I know that, man, some evil things have happened to very righteous people. And not only do you know that in our span of life, but we know that from Scripture as well. But guys, I just want you to know the promises of God are not just for here. The promises of God are for there. His love is eternal. He never said that this life was going to be struggle-free, problem-free, stress-free. He never said that. In fact, he said the opposite, that we will be persecuted and we will be sought after. And there's a lot of people in Hebrews 11 that are named, like Noah and Abraham and Sarah, and that live by faith. But if you keep reading all that in Hebrews 11, there's an area where people are put to death because of their names are never mentioned. But he leads us through. He leads us through. Guys, when we get to heaven, it's going to be the most perfect place you have ever experienced in your life. And there is the beauty of that, it's prepared for us. I had more conversations about this week where we're joint heirs with Christ. Everything he's going to give Jesus, he's going to give you. And I'd be okay, I've told you, that if he gave Jesus a little more than us, I still think that's a great deal. You know, but he said, what I give my son, I'm going to give you. I mean, the promises of God are not just for this life here. This is a prequel to all of our living. And he leads us through, and his promises are true. Even he's my deliverer, not only here, but he's my deliverer in all of eternity. So the constant theme of rock and fortress and a bunch of rocks and mountain, they continue. He's my high place, the mountain. He's my high place where I seek my refuge. Where do you go? Where do you go when you have nowhere else to go? We go to our Heavenly Father. And it says, he is my shield. And I think this one's pretty obvious. You've seen the movies where they've got these big full-length shields and then smaller shields. You've seen the ones where they depict it in the movies where they have the body-length shield in the front, and then they put another length shield on the top where there's a wall and a roof. It can be both. The shield here is not descriptive of whether it's full length or even a little bit smaller, but he says, you, Lord, are my shield. You are my shield. I got excited when I saw this in Genesis chapter 15, verse 1, that just supports all this picture. After these events, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. And again, I can't tell you how he's going to reveal himself to you, but this is how he revealed himself to Abram. Do not be afraid, Abram. Look at that next line. I am your shield. Your reward will be very great. I didn't say this in the first service, but this came out of a conversation with Tyra and me. Some of us know to set our watches or our phones to 10:02. And 10:02 in the morning we set it. You can set it for 10:02 both times if you want to. It's up to you. But it's out of Luke 10:2 where we pray for laborers. And so one of the things I've done during that prayer time is I've taken the Lord's Prayer and the model prayer in Matthew 6, and I've layered it for me personally. And Tyra's like, well, that's what I've been doing. So I start off with our Father who art in heaven, and I throw in Psalm 18:1. I don't know why I'm giving this out today. It's for somebody out there. I pray for words of knowledge, and whoever this is for, then use it. I pray our Father and let him know he's my Father and all that I believe in that strongly. Then it just moves on down to your kingdom come and your will be done on earth. And I pray for kingdom things in people's lives, laborers. I pray for ministries. I pray for people in ministry. I pray for missions overseas. I pray for the persecuted church. In other words, it's not this little ditty 3-minute run. You know what I'm saying? It's pretty lengthy. But I use it as an outline. I use the Lord's Prayer as a model or an outline. And then I get on down. I get on down about even food. About people to be resourced with food. And then I get into temptations or asking the Lord to forgive me. And then I get down in here to where I wanted to be with this. Is the intent? I ask the Lord to move me around temptations. Just move my life away from anything that is going to be tempting to me. And then I said, Lord, I know there, you know, who likes preachers, right? I mean, really, do you get up? Thanks, Denny. I appreciate that. And But, I mean, you don't get up and go, man, I just want to hang out with a preacher, you know? I mean, we can be like the school principal, you know? We, you know, who wants to do that? If I ever play golf with you, I intend to try to beat you. You understand that? I'm not going to be this gracious person. I remember one time I was playing golf with some guys, and it was a scramble for the Anderson golf team, and there was another preacher on our team. I used to play golf a lot, and my son, Andrew's an excellent golfer. I at one time I played fairly well, but this is older years and we're playing a scramble. And we were gonna bogey a hole. So we had some mulligans, you know, that you bought for $5 to bless the golf team. And so I'm like, we're gonna hit this putt. And one guy said to me, he's like, man, you don't need to waste money on that. I looked up at him and I said, let me tell you something. I will spend Andrew's college money before I come in one over on a scramble team. Do you know what I'm saying? I said, he gonna have to work through school before I come home. So I can be that competitive self. But my point in all of these things that I want you to know is that who do we run to? You know, who are we running to? It's important that you and I, what's going on in our day? Who do we run to when our negative emotions are boiling over and we've got revenge in our heart? Or who do we run to? What do we do with that? You know, and then you come to the Father with praise and thanks. And I go back to the model prayer of where I was. You know, who wants to hang out with the preacher? But my point is, I even asked the Lord, and it says, you know, don't lead me to temptation. And it's really protect me from the evil one. Because the evil one can, his people can huddle together on what to do, you know? And I just like, Lord, I just trust you that you will protect us from anything with the evil one. I mean, who else am I supposed to say that to? In the model prayer, we get down to, I'm your shield. Your reward will be great because you allowed me to be your shield. We can see that running to him is a sign of weakness, and it's not. But it's also an indication of his strength and his power over our lives. It says that he is the horn of my salvation, and using the word horn there can have double meaning. There's an argument back and forth in theology. It could be like the horn on an animal, and we all know we're in Kentucky and we're blessed with white-tailed deer, and you know, we know us macho guys with Mossy Oak stickers and Real Tree stickers on our vehicle. Now, I will trust somebody that has more than 10 of those. I will trust those. But, you know, the bigger the antler, you know, the more dominant the buck or the more strength that they have. Some are saying that's true here, a picture of strength, but others are staying with the mountain and the rock theme, that the horn of salvation would be that pinnacle or that safe place on the mountain where I know I'm safe. And there's salvation there, and also rescue and deliverance there. It doesn't matter really which one you go. They're both a symbol of God's strength. And then he says, you're my stronghold. You're my stronghold. It's a high place, a very high place. It's basically, unless he leads you there, it's unreachable. And the only way you can get there is him. You know, I tell you things like Jeremiah 33:3, call to me and I will answer you, show you great and mighty things that you don't know or understand. Again, that's a drawing and a movement toward God. I call to him. He draws near to me. He gives me his answer. But remember, his answer will always be on his terms. And then he says, I'll show you things that'll blow your mind. Which means, there are places I can take you. They're not always geographical, but there are places that I can take you that you can't get there unless I take you there myself. They're unreachable. They're my stronghold. I hope today you can walk out of here and say that this is your God. But I can tell you he's my God. For Julie and me, he's our God. He's my strength. He's my rock. He's my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my mountain, my shield, my salvation, my stronghold. 9 times David uses the personal my. He doesn't say to us, the reader, that he's yours. I hope he's yours. I do what I do so that he will be your God. But I can tell you he's my God. I can't keep up with all of you. Some of you are so busy, you make me dizzy. But he can keep up with you. I can't keep up with you. I'm first of all not your savior. I'm just your preacher that you don't want to always hang out with that will try to beat you at golf, and I'll just add the other stuff. I'm just your preacher, and all I'm going to do is tell you of who he is and reflect. And you come to me, my pastoral care is going to send you to him. But I'll tell you, I'll share with you that he is my God. I'm not an atheist that believe, I don't believe he doesn't exist. I'm not an agnostic that he does exist and I can't have a relationship with him. I believe that my God is real and he's alive and he's my dad. You know, he's my dad. And I pray that you can call him your God today. The descriptions that David is using is just trying to catch a picture and cast a picture to all of us of how strong he actually is. You and I can do a lot of things. There's a lot of creativity in this room, intellect. There's a lot of things that we can do. But his strength is beyond any of us. His power is beyond any of us. And here, what's magnificent about it is he wants you to be his child. He loves us. I pray that you incorporate in your praying, I love you, Lord. You are my strength. Let's pray. Father, I pray over our people today. I pray for a soberness in our thinking, Lord, a single-mindedness, not a double-mindedness. I pray for that, focused on you. God, forgive us for chasing so much of what the world seemingly offers. Forgive us for thinking the world's got a better deal. Forgive us for thinking that we're more strong and powerful than we are. Forgive us of navigating a life that you gave us without thinking about you who gave it to us. And I pray, Lord, in the words of David, that we can love you back in a way that you love us. Thank you for your enduring love. Your love endures forever. Thank you for being our strength, our rock, our fortress, our deliverer, our mountain, our shield, our salvation, and our high stronghold place. Thank you. And thank you for providing a way to be with you through your son, Jesus. We're here to remember his cross and to remember the power of his resurrection. And we worship him and we say thank you for Jesus. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray and that we pray together. Amen. Would you stand with me, church? Counselors, would you find your place? You may want to come and pray with people today. Lay some burdens down. Have somebody pray with you. You can bypass the people in our altar. You don't have to see them. You may want to come. You never surrendered your life to Christ. We pray that you come today to do that. The invitation is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason today, you come. You come as the team leads us.